Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the Old Testament book of Joshua. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're continuing our study in the book of Joshua. And we are at a point in the battle that has shown God's provision and protection. Now, the book of Joshua is a book of battles. It's a book of victory. This is the victory at Gibeon, is where we are now in chapter 10. And we have seen them make that 25-mile march at night, double time or more. And they have made it there, and yet they are not fatigued. That in and of itself, I think, is the Lord at work. And then in verse 10, we saw that the Lord discomfited them before Israel. In other words, he fought the battle. And that included the hailstones that came down, huge rocks from heaven, if you will, of ice, apparently. They certainly were stones from heaven, and so we know of hailstones, naturally. And they came in such number and in such size that they destroyed these armies of the five kings. These five kings of the Amorites could not stand before Joshua, which was the promise of Almighty God. Now we get to a very interesting and somewhat controversial portion of Joshua. The fact that Joshua lived, the fact that Joshua led the children of Israel, the fact that Joshua and the children of Israel were winning these battles is not contested for the most part. Now, there are, of course, so-called scholars who contest every part of the Bible and say that nothing in it or very little is true. But we know better. We know that the Bible is the inspired, infallible, authoritative, and perfect word of God Almighty. It is presented to us as God's word, God's infallible and God's total word. This is also presented to us as God's final word on whatever subject the Bible's talking about. It's seen as God's final word. Here, beginning of verse 12 in Joshua chapter 10, we have what is a miracle. It can't be seen as anything else. We don't know exactly what happens, but we do know the narrative, and here it is. Verse 12 of chapter 10 of Joshua. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, in the sight of the Lord, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou, moon, in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makkedah. Now we'll follow the exploits of Joshua and these five kings of the Amorites in just a moment. But let's talk about this miracle. Yes, folks have been trying to explain it away ever since it's been written. Why do we do that? Why do we, as mere mortals, as human beings whose lifespan is but a breath, why do we try to deny the very miracles of Almighty God? What causes us within ourselves to be so rebellious and so sinful as to have the concept, the idea, the notion that we know more than Almighty God knows? What brings us to that situation where we think we know more than God, where we think we know the mind of God and it is contrary to God? If God had wanted the moon and the stars and the heavens to brighten the night to where it seemed as day, he could have done that. If he'd wanted to send a comet to be a blazing comet over the battlefield, he could have done that. He could have done one of a thousand things, any one of a thousand things, to effect light on the battlefield so Joshua and his men could continue the fight until it was finished. But Joshua requested a certain miracle. And in this request, God was pleased to answer. Now, that's not to say that every time Joshua spoke that God gave a miracle. We don't see that. In fact, we saw the miracle of crossing of the Jordan on dry land. God told them what to do with that. That was not a request of Joshua. And in this request, this is for the victory to be gained by the Israelites. So Joshua spoke to the Lord, and it was a request, not a command. It sounds like a command, but it was really a request of God. It was a prayer. Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. Now we're told that this was, and he says it here, until the people have avenged themselves upon their enemies. So this was a very specific miracle, and it was one for a specific purpose. We sometimes wonder why God does not suspend the laws that he's put in place at creation. And he does not suspend them for us on a regular basis. And we wonder why. Well, it's because there's no purpose in it. There was a purpose in this. I believe that if God needs to suspend the laws that he's put in place, that he would do so anytime he wants to. He's God. He can do that. Now, just because we think it's necessary, that doesn't mean it's necessary. God gives us lots of ways to be preserved or to be avenged, if you will, in certain situations. God takes care of us. And it does not necessarily always require a miracle. Sometimes it requires hard work on our part. Sometimes it requires God's opening of doors or closing of doors so we know which direction in which to travel. But here it took a miracle. Now this is considered to be Israel's long day. It's mentioned in 2 Samuel chapter 1 verse 18. This is also written in the book of Jasher, and it's mentioned there, referenced in Scripture. The book of Jasher was an early collection of poetic utterances, songs, if you will, that commemorated Israel's heroic deeds, commemorated the heroes, if you will, of Israel. You can buy a copy of the book of Jasher even today, if you wish to do so. But it is not considered to be Scripture. It's not part of the canon. However, Jasher is mentioned here, and indeed there is a partial quote of one of the poems here talking of the sun and moon staying in place. Now, Joshua's forces then were able to defeat their enemies because the day continued. This was an answer to prayer without question. It was miraculous without question. Lots of folks have proposed ideas as to what happened. For example, one set of commentators says that this usually comes into two categories. One is the slowing or suspending of the normal rotation of the earth so that there were extra hours in the day, and there were either an extra 12 or an extra 24 hours in the day, depending on how you wish to read this scripture. And this extra time then gave Joshua's forces opportunity to fight in the daytime make sure that all of their enemies had been defeated. The Hebrew word for stood still in verse 13 is a verb of motion. It might indicate a slowing or a stopping of the rotation of the earth on its axis. The earth itself would continue moving around the sun. Verse 14 indicates it was a unique day in the history of the world. Then there's a second look at it. The first one is that slowing or stopping on the axis. The other way to look at it is that no irregular rotation of the earth happened. And there's an argument for prolonged daylight by some sort of unusual refraction of the sun's rays. In other words, it'd be sort of like the Northern Lights. And that would give more daylight hours, but not more hours total in the day. Another view supposes a prolonging of semi-darkness to give Joshua's men relief from the blazing summer sun. And God sent a hailstorm, according to these folks, to give respite from the burning and blazing sun there in that part of the world. And that view takes the phrase stood still in verse 13 to be still or to cease, indicating the sun was clouded by the storm, no extra hours were added to the day. And then we see there verses 12 through 15 with the mention of the book of Jasher. So that's how commentators look at it. The truth is, unvarnished truth, is that God made a miracle. The exact composition of the miracle we don't know, but we do know that it was a miracle. And the day remained bright enough for fighting until Joshua's forces had defeated the five kings of the Amorites. Verse 16, as we continue, but these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makkedah. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. They weren't going to say anything bad about them because they were victorious. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings, and they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And afterward Joshua smote them, and slew them, and hanged them on 5 trees, and they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees, and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones upon the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. And that day Joshua took Makkedah, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof he utterly destroyed them, and the souls that were therein. He let none remain, and he did to the king of Makkedah as he did unto the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Makkedah and all Israel with him unto Libnah, and fought against Libnah. And the Lord delivered it also, and the king thereof, into the hand of Israel, and he smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain in it, but did unto the king thereof as he did unto the king of Jericho. And Joshua passed from Libnah, and all Israel with him, unto Lachish, and encamped against it, and fought against it. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, which took it on the second day, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, according to all that he had done to Libnah. Then Horam, king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish. And Joshua smote him and his people until he had left him none remaining. And from Lachish Joshua passed unto Eglon, and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it and fought against it. And they took it on that day and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein he utterly destroyed that day, according to all that he had done to Lachish. And Joshua went up from Eglon, and all Israel with him, unto Hebron, and they fought against it. And they took it, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining, according to all that he had done to Eglon, but destroyed it utterly, and all the souls that were therein. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, to Debir, and fought against it. And he took it, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and they smote them with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroyed all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining, as he had done to Hebron. So he did to Debir, and to the king thereof, as he had done also to Libnah, and to her king. So Joshua smote all the country of the hills, and of the south, and of the vale, and of the springs, and all their kings he left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea, even unto Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even unto Gibeon. And all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. Now their base of operations, where the people that were not the army were stationed, if you will, was this place called Gilgal. And so they used it as their base of operations, and that's where they returned when they were finished with this portion of the conquest. Now, what is this all about? This is victory. This is a realization of the promise of God, but it is also an outworking of the command of God. Again, why were all of these people slaughtered? It was because God said that their sin was so great that he wanted them removed from the earth. And indeed, they were. And Joshua and his army then fought and won these victories under the hand of Almighty God. And think about it for just a moment, and we'll leave you with this thought. If you were taking 3 million or 6 million or ever how many into a new land, and you had to have land for them and places for them to live, the best way to do it is to go in and occupy somebody else's territory. The crops have been planted, the houses have been built, the locations and the cities are there, and the building materials will be there even if you destroy the cities, because they built with stone, and stone was not destroyed. When they burned the place with fire, the stone itself would still remain as a building material. And so you would have to clean out a complete area in which to occupy. And that's what we see here in this portion of chapter 10.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.